Has it ever occurred to you that there may be a difference between the good life and a good life? Because you can certainly live the good life, but not live a good life. And you can live a good life without having the good life. You know, some people even say that the good life isn't that good at all. That we should be far more concerned with living a good life, despite the bad times it's guaranteed to bring. And we might look at someone who's lived a good life and ended up with nothing and think to ourselves, man, was that worth it? And the truth is, we won't know until all the chips fall. But when they do, we'll all find out what exactly good life actually is. And if I may, it's probably a good idea to try to figure that out before it happens. Wouldn't you say? My name's Ransom, and you're listening to the ramblings of a revenant alien. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the double RA. It's a good day to ramble. If this is your first time hearing the show, welcome. I'm glad you're here, and I hope your day is going as well as mine is. Sit back, relax, grab something bold to drink, and enjoy a little bit of musing on life and wisdom, peppered throughout with some original blues by me. You're in a safe place, my friend. You can relax. Take a seat by the fire, kick your feet up, let your hair down. Whatever kind of day, week, month you've had, hope you come away with some encouragement, with some wisdom. Hope you come away with some light to take with you on your journey. And if so, hold it high and pass it on. It's a sunny and beautiful day here in Burbank, California. Springtime has landed, my friends. Those cool temperatures are starting to drift away in a dramatic fashion. The missus has put away all the winter clothes and we're already looking to see how to get the kids some new stuff for the summer since they're all growing like weeds, which is a good thing, but does give us a few more things to do. Hey, it'll be all right. I hope you have a bright future hanging in front of you, although maybe it's just some hot days that you're not looking forward to. Whatever the case, I'm glad you stopped by. All right, let's get this ramble going. As you can tell by the description of this podcast, I have a great deal of interest in what it means to live a good life, what it means to be wise, you know, finding places to learn that wisdom that we need to make good choices, that is, choices that will lead to a good outcome. And that's what wisdom is, right? The ability to synthesize knowledge into action in a way that is not academic, but very, very practical. I believe it was Plato who said that knowledge that doesn't change your actions isn't actually true knowledge. It's not something that you really know because you didn't change how you lived based on what you learned. But I think that's what most of us think of when we think of wisdom. It's the tidbits that we pick up through our life, often through hard experience, that causes pain. The funny thing is, though, we don't always draw the right conclusions from the pain that we experience. We synthesize it somehow. But how many times have we looked back and realized, I learned the wrong lesson from that? What I should have learned was this. And then we learn it at that future moment when we kind of analyze and reanalyze a thought pattern that we've had for years that we didn't even know about till we finally got the apparently wisdom that we needed to synthesize it correctly. You know, wisdom is specific and incisive. It cuts down to the heart of what's going on in our lives, in the world, in the human psyche. It's like those red filters that you would use to look at secret messages on the back of cereal boxes. You remember those? If you looked at them, there was just this jumble of kind of weird visual patterns, but if you got the red cellophane reader and put it over top, there was a message there. And that's what wisdom is. It's the filter that allows us to see what's really going on. And in this whole conversation of what does it mean to live a good life, not just to live the good life, so to speak, the meaning of which is debatable. I think most people would say that it's having good relationships, having a family, having a home, keeping healthy, avoiding pain, having comfort, or is it doing something meaningful? All of these things factor in, but I stand by what I said in the open. I think you can live, quote unquote, the good life, but not necessarily live a good life. They're not necessarily distinct. Remember, the good life and a good life overlap quite a bit. But I think there are some really important places where they don't overlap, and it's hard to remember sometimes. And so it's good to think about. So let's listen to a little blues and stretch out our minds, because hopefully they're going to get a bit of a workout today. We'll see. Here's a question to kick things off. Where do we find wisdom? Now, there's a myriad of answers, and I'm not going to tick them all down, don't worry. But something struck me a few weeks back, and I threw up a tweet about it. Maybe you saw it. And it was this flash of insight that came to me, I think, when I was editing Keneath Perrin's interview. And it was this. You can't be your hero. It's impossible. They are who they are. They've lived the life that they've lived. They've done the things that they've done. That has made them who they are. You can never be them. Now, you can be like them. You can grow in the skill that you admire them for. You can try to imitate the good parts about them, maybe even the bad parts sometimes. But there's no way that you will actually ever be them. It's a toxic notion. You gotta let go of it. Because it's unachievable. But you know what is achievable? Becoming a hero to someone else by maximizing who you are. See, heroes are made to inspire us, not to create this impossible notion of who we are supposed to be. You know, there are guitar players that I listen to that I think, man, I wish I could play like that. But I don't have 8 hours a day to practice. I barely have 30 minutes. I don't know how good I can get. But I'm pushing myself. I'm continuing to listen to them and realize that the only way they got there was by time and effort. And those are two things that I have. So I'm going to use them. But the truth is, I may never be as good as any of the people that I admire, any of my guitar heroes. And that's okay. Because again, I can't be them. And the ability to realize that and internalize it and free myself from this despair of thinking that if I don't reach their level exactly, then I've failed is so important. It's very probable that I'll never be as good as them, but that doesn't mean my effort is worthless. In fact, it's a heroic thing to use what I have and do the best that I can, because I'm doing a lot of different things that they're not doing, right? They have the life that they live. They got all these things surrounding the thing that makes them amazing. They don't have to deal with all the other things that use up my time, which I wouldn't give up just to get better at guitar. That's for sure. We need to let go of this yearning to be someone else and just let them inspire us to be us. Because I guarantee you the best version of each person is something very unique to them. And that's one of the best things about being human. We are all snowflakes, in a good way, though. You'll see similarities, but at the core, we are each a different soul. We have different things to offer. We have unique insights to contribute. We have our own particular time and space where we can do good things and create beauty and create wonder and create awesomeness, if we're talking about guitar. So if anybody out there is feeling this sense of being in a prison where you're not able to get out and become this amazing thing that you look to as inspiration, can I encourage you to just open the door and walk out? It's a mind prison that you can let yourself out of. You've got what you need to realize that dream that the hero inspired in you. And you can be a hero to someone else. And who knows? You know, if you continue to work hard and practice and develop yourself in your chosen field of creation, maybe one day you'll actually meet your hero. And they'll look at what you do and say, wow, well done. That's impressive. And reaffirm this truth. You don't have to be anybody but yourself. And when you elevate that self, you can inspire everyone. Enjoy some blues while you chew on that one. Be right back. Granddad passed away recently. He lived a really long and good life, and he and Grandma were living in a great little nursing home over on the East Coast near my parents, who would always go up and see him all the time, so it wasn't a surprise. He'd hung on for a long, long time, and his body was just tired, you know? He'd come close a few times already, and, you know, we knew the time was coming, but it's always surreal, and puts me in a state of contemplation about what a life means. And a while back in season one, I talked about my dad's grandpa, how I barely knew anything about him except some, you know, rough times in his married life. And I think about my granddad and, you know, how much I knew or didn't know about who he is and who he was and what drove him and why he was a follower of Jesus and the unique perspectives that he had about things. What his life was like being in the army, how he met my grandma, what their marriage was like, the things he's learned in his life, what I got from him, as in what personality traits. It's fascinating. I always remember going to Granddad and Grandma's house for holidays, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas. Grandma would make this applesauce with ice chips in it, which I loved. She'd have sliced oranges for breakfast, and Granddad would just sit at the head of the table and talk and laugh and tell stories and then watch war documentaries later while all us kids would just sit there and wonder, why does this interest him so much? Forgetting that he had lived through those times and seen the world go up in flames and shatter and then recover. And here he was in the late 90s and early 2000s just remembering all that. And now he's gone. Well, he's gone somewhere else anyway. Again, as a person of faith, I believe he's living his best life now. looking back on everything with a much clearer perspective. And his faithfulness to his calling throughout his life, despite his own shortcomings, which he was very aware of, is something that I deeply respect. And it gives me hope for my own shortcomings and my own final days when they come. I think he had a really clear perspective about the things he wished he could do better, the things he wished he had done better, the mercy of God to cover all of that stuff, as Granddad asked for forgiveness, which is something I think is good for all of us to do. It's hard to sum up, right? It's hard to sum up a life. You know, it's interesting. I was named for him, and my middle name is his middle name. And I've always felt a kind of responsibility to carry on the traditions that he started as far as building good in the world and being kind and trying to leave your faults in the past and be someone new. And I'm deeply grateful for that inspiration and that wisdom, because I think that is what a good life means. And I think despite all his shortcomings, he lived one, and he left an example to follow. So, Granddad, if you can hear, good job. At least from me. I hope you got a good job from the boss up there as well. I bet you did. For the rest of us who are still down here, let's make it count, huh? Let's take inspiration from the ones who have gone before and see if we can't knock it out of the park like they did. You know, it's wild to me how kids, and I don't think it's just mine, have this incredible ability to just not care about making a mess or breaking things or leaving something on the floor and just walking away. I mean, what? How do you? Yo, you just like, there's literally a pile of stuff right there that's yours and you're just going to walk away. It's funny, man. And it just struck me like seeing, I mean, my kids do this all the time. I know other kids do too. And you know, being an assistant scoutmaster, I'll still see it on the campouts from the younger scouts and just be like, guys, that's yours. That's your responsibility. You know, I guess that's what we're there for, right? To teach them that, to help them grow into that and just, you know, keep that chain of growth going. But it just, man, whenever I see it happen, I just shake my head and say, wow, wow. And of course, then I have to stop and remember that I was that way too when I was young. And, you know, there are times today where I might leave something behind, but I'd like to think that it's on purpose, not because I'm thoughtless. But, you know, you can ask my wife about that, I suppose. We both take our turns doing that, she and I. But as I meditate and think about this, I think, why is that? Why are kids so unconcerned with things that we grown-ups really just care so much about? Or at least, you know, I do. In contrast to what I'm looking at the time. And of course, I don't know the answer for sure, but what I think maybe is that kids just have this limitless sense of possibilities, that they can leave something behind and it'll be there the next day, if they're even thinking about it, that is. They're not worried about losing things so much, because they haven't lost things as much. They haven't been wounded by that. They haven't been scarred by that. Because as you all know, as we get older and loss happens, whether that be a person or a relationship or something that was valuable and very precious to us that's now gone, We start to cling and hoard and try to preserve what we have because it hurts to lose things, right? We take care of what we have because we want to keep it around to give us those healthy sensations of satisfaction that we're living the good life. Kids aren't that way, or at least a lot of the kids that I interact with aren't. Now, while I think that the attitude of responsibility that grown-ups have is a good thing, that it is actually growth, I also can't help but think that maybe there's something we can learn from the way kids just trust that the world is going to be good. Because I think sometimes us grown-ups can put ourselves in a straitjacket, being so afraid of losing what we have, right? How many people have a full garage, full closets, a full storage unit? Not even necessarily people that have like hoarding as a kind of mental problem, but I mean just normal people. We don't like to throw things away because we worry about, well, what if I need that later? And we live in this anxiety that I don't think is good. I don't think is wise. It's just attention that we don't need to carry. And while I'm not saying that you should go around and leave messes everywhere, maybe the next time your kid annoys you and does that, you can, you know, as you gently correct them and teach them good habits, you can remember that there's something there. That we were made to trust that what we need will be provided. And that whether it will or not, living in that state of trust is good for us. It's a kind of freedom that we need. And I hope that it would lead us to find the ultimate object of trust. Because that's how you can both have the current state of peace and hope for the future. You know, they go hand in hand. Anyway, to all you parents out there who are pulling your hair out because you just cannot believe how many things your kids leave behind, I feel you. I'm with you. And hang in there. And chill. We all need to chill. Especially as we get older. Keep that ticker healthy. Anyway, here's a little twang to get you to the next thought. See you in a bit. Over a month ago, the family and I took a little trip down to a town called Oceanside to stay at my wife's parents' timeshare, and it was a great little vacation. And just a couple days, but you know, we walked around near the beach, we went out to eat, we relaxed in the room, we watched some great movies, we had a good time, and it was delightful. For the most part. Unfortunately for me, I was living through a lot of internal stress because my achiever strength was dialed up to 11, and I was just sitting around and thinking, I'm not accomplishing anything, I'm not editing the podcast, I'm not doing... So that wasn't fun. But looking back on it and trying to kind of analyze how I can never do that again, how maybe I can learn to enjoy vacation just a little bit more with the family, it struck me, you know, how many of us are in the middle of something that might even be really, really good. And we just can't enjoy it because we're looking ahead to the life that we want to live or the thing that we want to do instead of just seeing that that thing in the future may never come, but what you have now, you can enjoy. How many of us are trying to build a life down the road so much that we miss the life that we have right now? It was a hard story to tell, but I know an older man who spent his whole life, 40 years as a doctor, and doing undergrad, med school, residency, and finally getting in there and just working hard every day, being on call sometimes, raising a young family, you know, a few kids, he and his wife just saving and delaying gratification, you know, and taking vacations when they could, investing and all that, but just pushing and pushing and pushing until that one day when he could finally retire and finally do every day the things that he wanted to do. You know, and that was good for a while. It was, you know, 10, 15 years. And then recently, his wife was diagnosed with dementia. And now every day is just kind of slightly awful to very awful in many ways. He's watching the woman that he loves slip away a little bit at a time. Just kind of constant pain. And obviously, I can't judge the choices that he's made, and I don't. But it does make me think that you have to be wary about delaying the life that you want too long. Because by the time you get there, you might not have much time left. 10 years sounds like a long time when you're young, but when you're old, it goes by like lightning. And there's a very real danger that you might look back and be very bitter and just spend those last days in a kind of state of sourness, which is a terrible way to end your life. I'm not saying don't plan for the future, but since the future may never come, you gotta find the thing to love now. You gotta make the hard choices to create the life you want now that also, if possible, can create that future life. That they should be one seamless movement, not doing something you hate forever and ever and then finally getting a little bit of a taste of something that you really love. And again, not everybody has this freedom. I'll admit that. I know we're very blessed in the country that I live in to have that kind of choice. Most people throughout history haven't had it. It's do this and survive or not. Who cares about self-fulfillment? I need to eat, right? But since, maybe I'm talking to the people in the West here, since we have that freedom, I think we have a responsibility to create a generative life by living fully where we are and making sure we fit in those seasons of joy, those moments of joy that will spread to others, both in our immediate family, in our friend circle, even in society at large. Because I know we all feel when there's joy in a place because the people are living full lives. I guess what I'm trying to say is don't put off living. You may not have the time you think you do. Life is short and precious. Spend it well, my friends. Follow me down a little rabbit trail for a second. I got a question for you. Why would God allow temptation? Why is that? You know, the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, it says, "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." Why would God not always answer that with a yes? Right? If he's so concerned about our goodness, about us living a good life, why wouldn't he keep temptation away from us? Now, I think it's a good question because the circles that I run in, people are very concerned with personal morality, personal goodness. And if God is on our side and wants us to be good, why would he not keep away these temptations? I had to chew on it a little bit, but I think I know why. At least this is my answer for myself. Because another word for temptation is test. Testing, you know, a trial, like a trial run of a SpaceX rocket. You got to see if it works. You got to see if it can stand the pressure. You got to see if it can do what it's promising that it can do, what it's been built to do. You need to test it. Now, we are not pieces of technology. We're not cars. We're not chairs or furniture that need to stand up under a certain weight, but I think there's a very real sense where we do need that proof. The proof that you can only get in a real test. Right? That's what tests at school are for. To see how well you'll do under pressure with the knowledge that you have. Because there's really no other way to prove the metal of something. And I think that proof is really important. First of all, to ourselves. I think we need to know what's in us, and there's a great value in seeing if you can stand up to a test. You know, whether you fail or pass, now you have an invaluable piece of knowledge. right? It's proof for yourself. It's proof to the adversary, whether that be life or obstacles or those that believe in an ultimate evil force working against us. It's proof that you possess a certain level of strength, a certain level of goodness, and that proof is priceless, right? It's worth the test. Even though some tests are awful, right? They are not fun. I mean, the pandemic lockdowns for me, that was a huge test. And man, I crashed and burned. I did not pass that test. And I learned so much about myself, about my own pride and arrogance and bitterness and just all these weak spots that I didn't even know I had because they just hadn't been put to the test. And so I was living with those fissures just waiting to crack, and I didn't even know it. And now I do. Right? So for the next test, I'll be stronger. I'll be more ready. Now, of course, the question gets a little more complicated when it comes to a higher being, because if they know what we're going to do and what's going to happen, well, then what exactly is the point? Isn't it all written? I think the answer comes in examining the nature of time and all that. I'm not going to get into it because that could be a whole podcast all by itself. But I think for us who are living in this time and space, who get annoyed by temptations, who get annoyed by testing, who just wish that our negative proclivities would just go away, I think we're missing an opportunity to see great value in proving ourselves in the field. Yeah, it's really annoying when that one particular negative draw keeps pulling at you. You just wish it would go away, but when you can beat it, man, that satisfaction and that knowledge that you do have the strength, nothing like it. So there's value in the test. And I can tell you for myself, I'm undergoing a few tests of my newly gained knowledge right now. You know, situations that I'd prefer to stiff arm and avoid. But I'm realizing that what I learned in my failure is what I need to apply now. And that's kind of cool to literally see, that's a tool that I have now, and I need to apply it here, or I didn't really learn it. Anyway, good luck out there, everybody. I know the tests are flying at us hard and fast. Don't run from them. We all need to know what they can teach us, which is wisdom. For a better future and a better now. Man, that was heavy. Let's enjoy some blues, huh? I'll see you in a second. I'm not a great friend. I'm really not. You know, I like what I like. I like to do what I want to do. I want to spend time by myself. I want to do my thing. Putting appointments with other people on my calendar is just like pulling teeth sometimes. Because I like to stay busy. I got things to do. I got boxes to check. And so I'm not a great friend. It's not easy to just swing by my house, knock on the door, and know that I'll invite you in for a cup of coffee and a chat. That would not happen. I would open the door, kind of look at you like, what are you doing here? And maybe it's telling that I don't know a lot of people that would even do that. And that's why I say, you know, I don't think I'm a great friend. I find it really hard to make time for people, the people that are close to me even. I got to schedule it. Can't tell you how many times my kids will say to me, hey, Dad, when are we going to do this thing we keep talking about? And I say, you know, I really don't know. I don't know where we're going to put it on the schedule. And that kind of mindset makes it hard to get close to anyone but the missus and the family. I'm not sure what that means, but I think it is true. I'm not a great friend. But I'd like to be one. I'm trying to make changes to be one because, as I keep talking about, the most important thing to me is this conversation about ultimate meaning, about a good life versus the good life, about Jesus, about faith, about what's really real. And those aren't conversations you can just have with a stranger, except in very rare cases where they're ready and you're ready and bam, You get brought together and whoo, it's electric. But that's not normal. Normally, friends only get to that after so much time spent together where there's trust, there's a feeling of safety, there's a feeling of concern. That person knows that you're their friend and they'll open up to you about it, or they'll be willing to let you open up to them. And so it struck me recently that it's not a good thing that I'm not a great friend. If I really care about helping people see what I have seen and know what I believe is something that everyone needs, I need to be a better friend. I mean, despite being an extrovert, I have to work at this. I have to clean out my schedule a little bit. Need to make time to get the most important things done and stop prioritizing the things that are supposedly helping me get to the most important thing. This is a lot like living your life now and not putting it off, right? Don't plan a future that you imagine. The future is happening now. If you want a certain life, you got to find a way to bring it into the present. I'm not a great friend, but I want to be one. And that will take work. It'll take changes that I'm still trying to figure out. But I know they're possible. And they're happening slowly but surely. They're starting to come. And I'm starting to see what's possible. And I believe it is possible to be a good friend. Oh, man. I laugh because I get this sense of wryness from my granddad who just passed away. And then I think from my mom, and it's come down to me, where you just look at life and shake your head and say, shoo-wee, which is what my granddad would always say. To shake his head at his own shortcomings and the way God was gracious to him in that. Now take it from me. You got to build the life you want now, and that'll mean some changes. But they're worth it, and they're possible, and it's going to be good. All right? Stay with me, and I'll keep you posted on the journey. Because I know that as I become a better friend, many more good thoughts are going to come out of that, and many more stories too, which I'll bring your way. Don't worry. All right, one more spot of blues, and we'll wrap this baby up. Be right back. We talked about some pretty heavy stuff today, some ups and some downs, but I want to leave you on a bright note. Because I can get so dour sometimes, and I know I bring that to you, and this is kind of my space to work through those things, so I appreciate you hanging out. But let me leave you with some wind beneath your wings, okay? Here's an insight that struck me recently. Enjoy the good times when they arrive. You can't control when that will be. You don't know when it's going to happen, but some days you just wake up and everything is firing on all cylinders. You feel good. Your body feels good. Your breakfast tastes good. Your coffee is perfect. It's sunshine outside. The traffic is great. And then you realize you're not dreaming that this is actually happening. That's good. That's amazing. And so many times we stop and look at it and analyze and we forget to just enjoy it. I'm not going to rage against social media here and say, don't post about it. Like, hey, post about it. Share it with people. Soak in that joy and then spread it out because it's a rare treasure. Not everybody's living their best life every day. It's going to rain sometimes. You're going to get a flat tire sometimes. And even when you have a good perspective and you're full of peace, it doesn't mean everything's going great. But when things are going great, just ride that wave. Enjoy it, right? Like a good joke, a good movie, a perfect song. You know, when that moment just clicks, just sink into it, right? Enjoy it like a good meal and be thankful and be grateful and realize that in that moment, you're living the good life. And by sharing it, I think you're living a good life too. And that's a blessing. It's something we can be grateful for, which is so good for us, to be grateful. To not try to cling on to things or hoard things or systematize things, but to just enjoy it while it's in our hand. And as it wilts and flutters away in the wind, we can be thankful that it happened. You know, I'm preaching to myself here because so often when things are going right, I try to stop and think about how can I systematize this? How can I make sure that this is every day, that I can just make this a routine? That's just not how life works. All the things that we cannot control when they coalesce is just great. And we get a gorgeous day inside and out. All we can do is enjoy it. Maybe we can take lessons from it, right? Integrate it into our schedule, try to tweak the knobs a little bit to try to help it be more likely. But that's about it. And if we get too concerned with all that tweaking, we won't enjoy what's right in our hands. And that would be a bummer. Don't do that. Enjoy the good when it comes to you. It'll help you get through the bad spots, I'll tell you that. And help you remember that the good is more real. I hope you're living a good life, at least today, and all the days after that, no matter what's come before. The possibilities are in your hand. I believe it. You can make the most of who you are and what you are, where you are. You can find where the good life and a good life intersect. And hey, you can live there. And I hope you do. L'chaim. All right. Good times here on the RRA. Hope you're going to live a good life today and all the days after that. And if you thought this was good, please do subscribe and share, rate and review on whatever podcast platform you prefer. It really helps people find the show. If you loved it so much that you feel compelled to support in a more concrete fashion, just go to the last link in the show notes. It says support. You can give a teeny tiny amount monthly to help us keep doing what we're doing and take care of the people who donate their time in the Ramble Room as interview guests. I would love to do that. So if you want to be one of those supporters, I thank you in advance. You can reach me at revenantalien.com/contact, and you can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Medium. Just search at a Revenant Alien and look for the logo. And as always, if you're on the hunt to find out what it means to live a good life, or to live the good life, or both, check out revenantalien.com/searchers. I can vouch for what's there. It's good stuff. I promise. Don't be a stranger. Godspeed. And I'll see you out there.